Good evening, everybody. My name is Jay, and I am a recovered alcoholic. Hello, all. Well, this is it. And hopefully I won't break down in tears tonight. I tell you that if I do, I do, and that's okay. But it's been a wonderful experience, and these steps that we're going to talk about tonight, I am, you know, if you thought I was passionate about the other ones, we're in for a little treat tonight because, you know, there's no holes barred on these. And, well, you know, I'm going to try to let God talk through me for a little bit less time than I did last week. So we can let other people talk too. So, in synopsis, with everything, I want to thank everyone for coming to this group. I want to thank new people for finding their way through the door and the courage that you're showing to do that. You've walked into a room that's blessed. And I don't take that lightly. You know, there's many messages in the past that I heard or didn't hear, or didn't want to hear, or whatever the case might be. I'm not here to tell anybody else what their truth is, but my truth was I was dying real bad. And countless attempts to stop doing what I was doing was not at all possible, no matter what the circumstance, reason, or event, until I was taken to a place where somebody told me my truth and showed me a way of life that is beyond my wildest dreams, and that's what this room does. So if you feel a little bit uncomfortable by the you-know-what's in here telling you you-know-what, you know what? That's right. It's the right thing. You need to feel uncomfortable in this situation because it could save your life. So before I even start with that, I want to say, you know, all rooms of AA are a blessing, every single one of them. Doesn't matter what they're saying there, I guess. That's nice, isn't it? But as we're going to hear in these steps tonight, we carry this message from the podium, one-on-one, or talking in some candy store. Anywhere, anyhow, I've been uniquely qualified and uniquely blessed to be able to tell you a message of depth and weight. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. If you're walking into this room, I will repeat, I know from my heart that's the message you're going to get. And if you're a real alcoholic, that's the message you need. So I want to tip my cap to the group. It's a great room to be in. And if you're in here and you're just coming in and you've yet to find that answer, you're lucky. You're blessed to be able to find that answer. So we're going to touch on these steps a little bit. I'm going to touch on 10 and 11. And I'm going to punch you in the mouth with 12. Because I love it so. So number 10, you know, we've been through in this series, and you've been through in your life, or in the ongoing situation of 1 through 9, so I will tell you when we're embarking on to 10 that, you know, you've made a nice little start on 1 through 9. You've made a good beginning, as the book so nicely says. I never liked that, did you? I've done all this stuff, and, you know, what do you mean beginning? I've done all this. I've even started to, you know, make amends. I've done that too. Well, you know, that's cool. That's really nice. You start to walk out, in my experience, out of darkness into freedom, out of certain situations and into a free alcoholic. Wherever that may happen to you, wherever that feeling is, I don't know if you can define it. I guess you can define it if you go into a place where you're not supposed to be and you don't feel like drinking and it doesn't even bother you at all, I guess it's starting. I guess there's something different from what was told before Don't go there. Don't do that. That's not the place to go. If you see, I won't show my age, but I guess I will. If you see a Pabst Blue Ribbon commercial, turn the TV off. Run. Go in the other room till it's over and then come back. And hopefully there won't be a Rheingold or Corona commercial, or now they got the guy that used to be on The Sopranos with the little shot now, the you know, shot glass and all that type of stuff. You know, if these things are bothering you, you're in the right room. So, getting back to the talk at hand, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admit it. Me wrong. That's really? Well, I would say for myself that most of the time it was you that was wrong. And until I did my inventories and my other stuff to get to where I am today in my recovery in the 10th step, and whether that's 2 months or 6 or 3 or 1 or 2 weeks, you know, that's, God bless you, the faster the better. But, you know, I know for myself that it was very hard for me to admit that word. It was like, you know, Fonzie. You know, me wrong, not me. You know, it's actually your fault, and you did it, and I didn't do nothing. So now I could take a look at when I'm wrong, promptly admitting it. That could be during the day. You know, I could take inventory during the day. An inventory can happen, like, it's not only about, you know, taking the other inventory we did and then, you know, that inventory is dry after a certain amount of time. We have to continue to look out for certain things, resentment, fear, ego, you know, all the seven deadly sins and all the other resentments that might pop up, and the fears and the sex conduct that may pop up into your life that we have to continue to write for the rest of our life. In most cases. So, you know, the 10th step is just making us aware to continue to take that inventory, because we're going to be wrong again. Even though we took inventory before, that doesn't mean we never have to, it's gone. You know, that's it. We did it once and now I'm cleaned out and I don't have to worry about it. In my experiences, and probably for most of us, you know, these things crop up again, and I could be wrong during the day a million times, or I could, you know, be resentful or fearful or many, many times. So I'm not going to tell you about how many inventories you should write. Like, the, you know, there's no set thing, one a year, or some people haven't written one in 4 years. Some people write it, I don't know, twice a week. I don't know what that situation is for everybody. I'm just telling you to continue to keep an open mind about it. And we are spiritually fit, but we're not cocky. Yes? I'm never going to be wrong again, you know. I pray every day. I meditate every day. I go to church. I go at night. You know, I do all those things. I'm even good boy at the job. I'm good. Stealing from work is not only stealing money. You know, I meant to say that last week too. You know, are you giving the boss an honest day's pay for an honest day's work? You know, you can also be ducking out a little bit. Your break's an hour, you take 3 hours, you know. All the little things, you're wrong if you're doing that. I'm sorry to tell you. No justification for that type of stuff, you know. So we continue to take a look at our actions, and our actions are now being guided by a power greater than ourselves, if the rest of our spirit is in good position and alignment. And I think we've been given some tools in the first part of the step work to keep ourselves aligned. So now what we're doing on 10, 11, and 12 is to maintain the freedom and maintain our spiritual fitness on a daily basis. That's my thing with that. I need to stay free, and I can't stay free without doing 10, 11, and 12. I'm not going to stay free. Obsession's going to come back. You know, All the things that I tried to get rid of are going to come back for me. I need to keep myself vigilant, and you know, I will get into how I do some of those things, and you know, now in 11, but in 10, continue to look out. Have God look out for your mistakes and the wrongs, and when you're wrong, you know, how far has your recovery come? You know, can you go to that person you really don't like at work, or maybe a friend, or maybe a person even at another meeting? So you could be wrong at another meeting when you start to do what I do sometimes, and that's judge these people. You know, and tell them what they should be saying or whatever it is. It's a very talented way to raise your hand and say, well, that's not my experience. You know, that didn't work for me. This is what my experience was. That's a nice way of saying, you know what? That's a really cool way of disagreeing, right? So I have to admit when I'm wrong, when I stand up and I shout to the rooftops, which I'm passionate about, and I understand if you're doing it, that's okay, I did it too. I did it, you know, I'm guilty of it, guilty of sin. No, it's this way. What are you doing? You're a murderer. You're murdering people, and please don't do that. Right. The AA police I was. See? Because, and there's a reason for that. People get that way. It's because they've been saved from a living death sometimes, and they can't help it. You know, I couldn't help it. You know, there was many times where I almost, you know, was on the front lines and I was wrong. And I came back to that group and admitted that, you know, hey, that wasn't the way to present it because it's not attractive. You know, now I've grown a little bit, and still I get that way sometimes, but, you know, try not to, but I do, because that's the way it is. I'm not perfect. So, I think it's real cool to be able to go up to somebody and say, hey, look, you know, if you're living in a sober home, or you're living in an environment where you're sharing space, like with your wife, or with your brother, or with your family, you know, isn't it, or whatever the situation might be, it's really nice to take a step back after something went wrong and say, whoa, that wasn't right, that was wrong. And then you can correct that inventory, you know, right away. You can take that inventory, you know, immediately and go, or it could be the next day, or whatever it is, but, you know, I just want to keep an open mind to the fact that, yes, I'm going to be wrong again. And, you know, God's going to keep me as level as He can, but, you know, I'm imperfect. So I won't beat myself up about being wrong. It's not a big deal. As long as you follow through on the correction of it, I feel that it's inevitable. So I want to move to 11. And 11 is something that I do, I won't say every single day, because I'd be wrong to say that, but I really give it my best shot every night. You take some time with my higher power and take a look at my day. If I'm spiritually lazy, then I'm going to suffer. And if the day has been too long, or this and that and the other thing, it just doesn't feel right sometimes hopping into bed without doing what I do. So when I take a look at through my day, and I sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out, I take that it's an exercise for me to take a look as I take my inventory for the day. Where did I do good? Where did I do bad? It's not only a lot of people just, I was, you know, what did I do wrong today? And they want to beat themselves up all, you know, at night. But you know what? There's also good that we did too. And we want to use that as well. Take a look at what we did. If I owe an amend, I make it. If I need to improve on something else, I do. But I can't be conscious of that if I'm not in that spirit. And 10 and 11, and especially those things that we do at night and in the morning, are keeping us from the obsession as well, and keeping us aligned with a power greater than ourselves. What would God have me do in this situation instead of what I did? This is what I did. Now, what would God have me do? So I could take a look at, you know, work is a common theme because we work, most of us. So we run into people during work that are not us. They won't die with a resentment. They can have them all day long. They can talk about me by the water cooler, and that's okay. They can talk about that. They can steal. They can do whatever they want. They can cheat the boss. They can do all that. They can be wrong all day long and not die from that. I personally don't have that luxury. The earthlings have to do what they have to do, right, at work, and I have to do what I have to do. And sometimes it's a hard mix, right? When, you know, I'm not here to be stepped on either. If I feel I'm wronged, I will address it. But here's the beauty of recovery. How do you address it today? Ah, that's a switch. I like that one when we address it in a nice way. Hey, so-and-so, I mean, that wasn't right what you did to me. Is there a reason for that? Did I disturb you in some way? Is there something wrong? Or you come up from behind him with a 2x4 and hit him in the head. See the change? See that? And that's not brought about by you, let me tell you. It's really cool to be able to approach in a decent way, you know, in a nice way. You know, of course we don't have, you know, when I'm not here to be a doormat and take anybody's you-know-what all day long, but I'm also going to try to talk to them in a civil way, you know, and try to see if we can work it out. Sometimes it can't be worked out, and that's okay. But, you know, the situation is an exercise, and it's a continued growth of my spiritual fitness. Things are going to pop up, is my point. I have to continue to look out for these things. I have to continue to be conscious of where I'm wrong. I have to continue to be conscious of what I should do the next day and what I should do during my day to try to keep myself from resentment, from fear, from all the seven deadly sins that prop up in our... I use that a lot because, you know, they're glaring. So when we're in this mode of spirit, we're keeping ourselves free from a lot of things. See, it's not only, you know, the drug, the alcohol, sorry, the alcohol, amongst other things, are no longer the problem, right? We found that out a long time ago. You know, we always thought they were the problem, and we found out going through this work, they were never the problem. The alcohol was the solution to my problem, which was what? I was restless, irritable, discontent. Wherever I was, I didn't want to be there. Whatever I had wasn't enough, and whoever you are, I don't like you. And I don't have enough of anything. I'm not happy with anything. And, you know, or, you know, if you don't have a message of depth and weight, you know, it could be a lot of different reasons why you thought you drank. And we smashed home that fact in a lot of this series, and we'll smash it home as you continue on in your life, that you drink because you're an alcoholic, and an untreated alcoholic drinks. Period. I don't need any reason. I thought I needed a reason, but I thought when I drank it made it better. See, that's the insanity too. And getting into 12 now, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. So now you're in this, you know, you're doing your deal, you're doing your maintenance every single day to keep yourself free. You're praying at night, you're praying in the morning, you're doing your little checklist. There's a checklist in the book of, you know, I don't do it verbatim as the book quotes it, you know. It has a little paragraph there of what you might be able to say in these prayers and what you might be able to do to see if who you've wronged during the day and what you've done and this and that and the other thing. But I just basically say to myself, what did I do today? Who did I help? Who didn't I help? What should I have done instead of doing that? Was I wrong in saying that? You know, you take a little bit of a time to take a look during your day, and you'll find that there were some things that were pretty glaring that maybe you could have changed. And that's you know, and they could be changed the next day. But now, you know, in step, if you were not told 12 by some beautiful person when you first came in here, then you could never do the rest of it. See, if you were told when you first came in here, you know, certain things, then you never got to this, and you never got to where you are today, which is up to step 12, which now you have to, it is your absolute obligation and job to pass that message to the next suffering alcoholic. Or are you too busy? I'm busy. Can't do it. Uniquely qualified, taken through the work, had all this spiritual awakening, had all this type of stuff, right? Have your tools. Maybe you do. I would say to you, if you're not doing 12, you're not doing anything. All that other stuff you did, to me, is worthless. For me. Maybe not for you, because you're still selfish and self-centered. I got mine. Well, what? And your very life depends on you passing that message, and still you shun it. And still you say, I've known friends are dear friends of mine. That's why I told you I was going to get emotional. Because I have dear friends of mine who I don't see nowhere to be found now. Resting on their laurels and hoarding what they've uniquely been given. The nerve. The colossal nerve of somebody to say, I'm tired of sponsoring. Or I'm tired of this or that. I paid back the money, that's enough. Or this, that, and the other thing. So before we get on to the message, I'm going to tell you, you know, that's very, 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 very prominent. I know of scores of people, not scores, but I know a few people who are doing that, and all I have to say is, you know what, I'm not anybody's judge, jury, or executioner. I'm only here to tell you that at the end of the day, you can do, if it's a whole fellowship. It's a whole thing. I don't believe in just the 12 steps alone. I also believe in the service and the making the coffee and the doing all those things and going to meetings and doing all those things. That's the message that I believe the book wants to pass. That's the message that people try to, you know, twist around. That, you know, us big book dumpers, all we want you to do is do the work and the book. But it's not true for me. I believe that the other stuff is important. Vitally important. Because if I'm not a meeting, where am I getting a sponsor from? Where am I getting a sponsee from? The internet? If I'm not at the meeting, and I'm not contributing, I'm not a contributor, then I'm back to a taker. And I'm, in my humble opinion, very close to drinking. Whether you might feel it today or not. It's my obligation and my pleasure, my absolute pleasure, to watch somebody grow in this fellowship from a person of hopelessness to a person of hope. And when you take somebody through the work, it's an experience you won't miss. When you stand in front of the podium and see one person light up out of a room of 100, the other 90 hate your guts. Then you have one person who says, my God, I never heard that before. I want to try that. You know, because my way is not working. We have just accomplished a very big miracle. And I'm passionate about it. You're not too busy. Don't care how many hours a week you work. Work less. Too bad. This is what it is. You walked through the door and got saved. Now, guess what? Time to pass that to the next person who needs you desperately. Or do you want to let them go into the other rooms and not hear a message of depth and weight? And hear what? See, we pass this message. This message is not only a happy, joyous, and free message. The message is also a message of times when you're lonely. Times when you're sad. Times when things happen. Times when you cry. Times when the world is crumbling around you. That's what this message is for too. Anybody could be happy, joyous, and free. Ah, yay! I'm happy all the time. Oh, really? Really? All the time? Yeah, all the time. You know, I will be doing you a disservice if I stand before you and tell you that this spiritual journey is not like an EKG machine. Sometimes it is. Life hits you. It's going to hit you. That's not experience. That's fact. Something is going to happen in your life that you're not going to like. And then if you don't have the tools, then you sit in self-pity. You sit in self-pity too long, and you end up where? No good. So a message of depth and weight gives you the tools for the certain low spots ahead that are going to happen to each and every one of us. Nobody is immune. So death is going to happen. You're going to lose your girl. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose, all these different things. They're going to lose you. You're going to lose them, which may be a happy thing for some of you. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose, things are going to happen. And if you don't have a message of depth and weight, which is you got the tools to get through that with dignity and character, or you're going to sit there, woe is me, and eventually drink. Let's use these things to tell people that this is not a message. Let's use our unique message to pass to other people that this is not a program eventually of people, places, and things. This is not a program of hold on to your seat every day. This is not a program of, you know what, every single day I want to drink, but I don't, I fight it off. Wow. All of a sudden you're, Mike Tyson reincarnated. You want to fight off this disease. You think you have the power to fight that off. This is the message that doesn't carry any depth and weight with me. And if you've been hearing it, it's not going to carry any with you. How's it working out for you? Sit up front, make coffee, and go home. It'll be all right. There he goes, bashing again. Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to stand in front of the podium and start when I'm 13 and 15, 17, 21, 29. I told you all the bars in Queens, every place in Manhattan. I told you everywhere that I drank. Never mentioned anything about anything else but my war story. If you want to do that and that's being done in other places, then God bless them. I'm going to tell you, I get nothing out of that. When I first came in here, I thought that was the way it was supposed to be done. Dump my crap in the meeting. And today, the message of death and weight that's been given to me is that my crap has nothing to do with my drinking or yours. So I'm here to tell you that the new crap, okay? The new crap that I want to tell you about is powerful and can hold a message of depth and weight in those certain spots that are going to happen. I came here, and I'm closing 5 minutes earlier than I wanted to. But I came here one time a few years back, and I was not doing well. I can't hide the fact of how I'm doing on that day. I'm not going to get up here and tell you that it's all glory all the time. But I'm also not going to stand up here and tell you that I want to drink because of how I'm feeling. If you can understand that, you understand a miracle. I was very hurt and lonely the last time I was up here. I was in bad shape mentally because I thought that I wasn't letting my tools go to work. So I was I was lonely. But you know what? I used my tools. I stayed lonely for a while, but I kept using my tools. And never once did it come to my mind in those 3 or 4 months that I was really lonely. Did it ever come? And I was hurt and all that type of stuff. Never did it once come to my mind that a drink was going to make it better. And that is the miracle of this message. And that is the miracle of this program. That when these times do come, you are prepared for them. It's kind of like having when there's a big blackout, you have the flashlight. Thank you. See what happens? When you have a flashlight, when you have extra food, when you have extra milk, when you have all those type of things, you are prepared. Are you prepared? You're not prepared if you're not in line with a power greater than yourself, if you're the real alcoholic. If you sip and go home, you don't need to be prepared. Point blank. You sip a little wine, you don't like the taste, so you put it down. There you go. Yeah, oh, I don't like this, let me try that. Then the real alcoholic's drinking Skol. Or Thunderbird. So, or whatever it is. Because the real message of depth and weight is we drink for the effect caused by the chemical. Who cares what it tastes like? Don't care. I just want to get to that place where I don't think. Where I don't want to know. I don't care what's going on. I'll wake up later, maybe, and it'll still be worse, but who cares? Now it won't be. So you think. So, you know, I leave you tonight with a thought of this. If your way is not working, get to work. If your way is working, continue. There's somebody coming through that door that needs you, and you're never going to know when or where it is, or who that is. When I first came into this fellowship, I was a beaten down loser that everybody thought didn't want, you know, people fought over not working with me. Him? I got to work with him. And something told them, yeah, you do. If you have the gift that's been given to you, pass it on. If you don't pass it on, you're in danger. Huh? My name is Jay. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Thank you.